hanging out in the studio with us, waiting for the game to get finished, is Chicago artist Sherry Smith. I'm really excited about this. We're going to get into this after David Jennings in the news, but I want to set it up for the listeners. And I kind of hang around jazz clubs, not as much as I used to, Green Mill, Joe Siegel's. But for the past 15 years, Sherry, you've been sketching jazz artists while they play in these places.
That is the gospel.
Yeah. And tell us, to whet the appetite of the listeners, who are some of the people you've done? I know you brought lots of stuff in here.
I've drawn about 500 musicians, but I've gotten a chance to do some of the greats like Sonny Rollins and Willie Pickens, who has passed by, and Frank Derone, the great Frank Derone at the Mill. And I've gotten to draw people as contemporary as Jimmy Chamberlain and... Jimmy Chamberlain, the drummer.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been finding out about drummers. Our new head of Chicago culture is a jazz drummer, so I got to meet him. But I've had a Marlene Rosenberg is somebody who I think is overlooked, one of the sweetest bass players in Chicago. And Eric Schneider, you can't miss Eric Schneider. And so I've drawn the legends, like Freddie Cole. I got to draw Freddie Cole 15 years ago, and I drew Freddie Cole last year. And the discrepancy between the age thing is just...
And Freddie Cole, we were talking before we went on the air... Freddie's Nat King Cole's brother. And I saw Freddie, he used to play the Pump Room years ago.
That's Natty Dresser, played a lot of classics, charming, charming guy. But now when I was waiting to get his autograph, I really had to just drop back 10 and punt because these older cats, you know, you can't muzzle in on them. They have their entourage. But I always try and get an autograph.
And the reason you're on the show is you've got 100 of your portraits going up October 7th. And help me with the pronunciation. The Ken Hurtie Gallery. Hurtie Gallery, 760 North Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's a great gallery, and it's almost like a wedding for myself. I retired. I was a Chicago public school teacher, taught art for 20 years, the last 10 in Cabrini. And
you did.
I did. It was sort of like... a seven-year nap to wake up. But my partner, Fred, who's just a jazz aficionado, who's friends with Eric, has consented to help me have this show because now I'm waking up to what things cost, and I have originals, I have them framed, I have large G. Clay prints that are astounding, and we're going to have live jazz. We're going to have Hinda Hoffman and Dennis Carroll on for the opening, and the closing is going to be just as important, too. So this is a cultural event in Chicago, and my sense of history is such is that these cats needed to be documented. So that's what it was about.
And you've done more than 500 total. You picked 100 for the show?
I picked 100 for the show, and if you just count the number of people who are in the big bands that I've done, there's 200 in the big bands. But when I draw, I sit with a little suede board, and I'm in a dark club, and sometimes I just have gestures written down. I have come up with my own shorthand, so you know it's a big band, or you know it's what's going on. But you saw some of my work, and you really like those black and white things that I just draw into a black piece of paper with, like, a nail or something, and they come out outstanding. You can't screw around when you do a drawing like that.
We're going to take a break for David Jennings and the news, and then we want to come back. I do want to talk about your method and how you got into this, where you grew up, and we'll walk backwards and all that.
Great.
So thanks for hanging out with us on Nocturnal Journal. We'll be back after David Jennings and the news on WGN.
Why can't this night go on forever? Why should the morning find you gone? Why can't I keep you here forever? And not just till dawn.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. That's kind of our theme song, isn't it? Isn't it, Dan Long?
It's not the theme song of the White Sox bullpen.
That's our friend, our late friend, Frank Derone, who I knew a bit, and I think his wife, Joan Derone, is listening tonight.
We talked to
Joni.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening to the show. And Frank, Frank always had style. I was telling you before the show, I mean, back in my days when I hung out at the Old Town Ale House, Frank would be there, and he'd have that style at 3 in the morning.
Pocket square.
Yeah.
Tattersall. He was decked. all the time. There are a handful of those jazz greats that are still turned out like that. But Frank Deron was a natty dresser. He was a smooth guy, and he was a classically handsome guy.
Oh, he sure was.
I mean,
yeah.
He had a chiseled face. I loved to draw him, and I drew him about 7 or 8 times, and I came up with this great portrait of him where when I use these suede board things that I draw on, I don't even know. It's so dark in the club, I just use colors that are going to show up. So I come back home and I look and I turn on the light on my stove and I see what I've done. And there's Frank Deron in yellow, green, orange, blue, purple, and his sidemen. But he was always a gent and he always played the most smooth, suave music.
His portrait will be, I assume, part of the show.
Not only will his portrait be part of the show, but there is going to be a jazz tribute presentation to Joni Deron, and it's going to be the portrait of Frank Deron, as well as we're going to have Eric Schneider, and we're going to have Dee Alexander, and Bethany Pickens is going to be there for her dad, Willie Pickens, and then we're going to have a couple more, and it's I think this is a historical moment in Chicago. I don't think it's ever been done, but I got a great sense of history, so I'm latching onto this to go to the Chicago History Museum, if you're listening.
And this is October 7th at the Ken Hurdy Gallery, 760 North Milwaukee Avenue. What time does it start?
It's going to start from 1 to 6. It's going to be 1 to 6. The tribute's supposed to be at 2, but we figure it'll start at 3. But there's going to be live music. We're going to have Hinda Hoffman and Dennis Carroll are going to play the opening, and Ava Logan's going to play the closing. So both these events are going to be hot tickets.
Now, this is radio, so we can't show the Frank Deron portrait, but I want to kind of deconstruct it. I'm looking at a copy here. He's at the Green Mill. Tell me the procedure of how you do this. Where do you sit at the Green Mill? Do the artists know you were there? I'm curious. In this one, there's like a naked woman there on the left.
Oh, that's
I've never seen that at the Green Mill.
That's famous Stella, the sculpture of Stella at the Green Mill, and I always include that. And
A sculpture.
Yeah, a sculpture, okay. And then they have a picture of Von Freeman next to it, and I always try and draw that too. But I have to sit as dead center as I can possibly be, or off a little bit to the side. If it's a pianist, I like to see where the hands are, but if it's a crooner, I want to get close to the mic. And Frank just took up the whole picture everywhere he was. So I used a lot of line work with Frank Deron, and I think I used some markers with Frank Deron, and I used all kinds of colors, but Frank was always dead center. I also use that scratch technique of you just take a piece of black paper and you scratch into it, and it's got a color underneath. So I got the essential lines of his face that way. And I like working that way because you can't take time. When I'm working with these crayons and stuff, sometimes I go over and over that face trying to capture it. But once I get it home and I know it's the thing, I'll go back with all those crayons with my arsenal. It's like an arsenal. And I'll bring out the features, etc. And then they get scanned and turned into these giant G-clay prints.
Giant? How big?
3-4 feet.
Uh-huh.
So that's a trip and a half just to see that what I've done from the initial sketch to the going home and working on it to having it scanned and working on the final print is really 3 or 4 iterations. And that's part of the reason I'm having this show is because they're big scale, they're colorful, they're dynamic, and they knock me out. I never saw them like that.
Roughly, when did you do Deron?
I did Deron right before he passed away.
When was that?
He passed away in 83.
No.
In 2013.
Yeah, right.
2013.
Yeah, right.
His last gig was at the Auditorium Theater, where he was one of Chicago's greats, and nobody knows, but he was very, very deathly ill when he came to do that. It was Barb Bailey's performance, and he rallied. And that's why I'm having this show. These guys just rally. Now, Willie Pickens was at Lincoln Center practicing when he died. I mean, he would always practice, and there he was at Lincoln Center, ready to go on, had his massive heart attack or stroke, and no more. So I honor all of these guys.
And the procedure. So do the artists know you're there?
Yeah, they know.
Do some don't?
Yeah, they know, because I always go up to them for a signature, and I'm trying to be mindful and wait off to the sides. And usually everybody signs. There's only a couple people who haven't signed, and the most wonderful people of all was the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. I went behind the scenes with them, and I asked them for a pop, And we got into the pop and soda discussion, Chicago and the South. And I started singing Rockin' My Soul in the Bosom of Abraham, and they all joined in. So I love those.
Who hasn't signed?
Oh, who hasn't signed? Oh,
you seem like a straight shooter. I think you tell me.
Yeah. I went to see Boz Scaggs. Boz is not signing. And then I went to see a couple other people. And one person asked, are you selling this or whatever it is? But no, everybody is anxious to see one artist taking care of another artist. So I feel like I'm given a present. And actually, I do give them a drawing.
You do give them a drawing?
I do.
Right after. I want to go over again the procedure. So in simpler terms, so you sit there with the sketchboard, and then you take it home.
So when
do you give them the drawing?
I get in there an hour early.
You get in there an hour early. Okay.
And I'm getting anxious. So usually I'll draw the stage or I'll draw the drum kit because drummers never see the drummer. And then they're up there for the introduction. And I do five or six or seven drawings. I just keep working on this suede board and moving it off and moving it off.
Do people ask what you're doing and stuff?
They watch.
They do?
Yeah,
nobody bothers you?
No, it doesn't bother me. I'm like, I'm the artist. Yeah. So I do a number of them. And then sometimes I just let the artist pick. Like Benny Golson, I like him.
So you do that all on the same night?
I'll let them pick on the same night. And what I wanted to say was it's like this connection of almost automatic writing. When I hear the sound, I see the sound. So I'm there with these crayons, and I'm just moving. They're moving on their own. And that's what's dynamic to me. It's I control it, but I have no control over it. The sound is coming all over me, and I always stop at the last two songs, and I allow myself to hear the music. If I could come in and hear the set all over again, I would be really
well
happy.
Then when you stop and hear the music, does that change anything of what you've been doing?
No, it just makes me want to dance.
So when you say you complete the image at home and then you use the light at home, how does that enhance the work?
Well, I can see what I have left undefined.
I see.
Because
I see.
The bottom line is for the person who's viewing it to understand it. So what I do is try and make it understandable for the viewer. You know, it's a personal thing of mine, but if you can't tell that it's somebody on a drum kit or somebody wailing out on a saxophone, what good is it? I do a shorthand when I'm drawing big bands, because when you got 20 people happening, there's no way you can draw attention to them. Or when I draw a symphony, I'm just drawing the line, the line of the bows. You might see 25 lines, and that's the symphony. But I love drawing the bass player, because that's easy and sexy. I love drawing the bass.
The best bass player is sexy. Huh?
Sexy to watch a bass player. I know where the hands go. I know what's going on. It's a very voluptuous sort of...
That's true.
Yeah.
I played stand-up bass.
Did you stand up?
When I was in high school.
Oh, yeah. Man, it's the bass.
Yeah?
Yeah. My first boyfriend's father was first chair bass in the Chicago Symphony. I got a thing for the bass.
Yeah. So you did the Jazz Showcase, you did Andy's, you did Green Mill. Where did you start? What was the first place you went to?
It's Green Mill.
Green Mill. Why?
Because they had Kurt Elling, and I wanted to draw Kurt Elling because he was like a very big draw.
About when is this?
15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was like the biggest draw, but it was easy to go in and see him on a weeknight. You could see Kurt Elling, you could bring your food in, and so I drew Kurt Elling. He never showed. He didn't have a tell. He was off. He was very flashy, even though his sound was mellow. So I drew Kurt, and then I drew everybody every single night of the week, but I love Patricia Barber.
Yeah.
She's just amazing, and I finally caught her. It took me 30 drawings to catch Patricia Barber. And that's the thing, is you never know when you're going to get the right
one. Okay, when you say catch her, how did you know you caught her after 30 and not 40?
I caught her because I could see the essence of the line of her face. I could see her hands. She's got very long hands. And I could see her foot. She sometimes takes her shoes off when she's doing that.
Yeah, she does, yeah.
And she gets into a mood. She's a very moody, emotional, intellectual at the same time performer, and I think she's really one of the best performers I've ever seen in my life.
Is there a rhythm? I mean, is there a rhythm to your work, a rhythm to your sketching that relates to the sound of the music?
Well, there's a rhythm that relates to the style that I draw in.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's swinging and it's something like maybe a huge big band, or if it's a huge, I like Latin music.
Yeah.
So if there's like 12 pieces out there and the congas are going, I'm just absolutely diving in to capture that. And I did Chevrolet with...
I remember them.
Chevrolet were great. They were like a Zydeco
band. Well, Latin. They were very Latin.
They were Latin, too. Yeah, there was a guy named Ocasio on the drums. Uh-huh. Yeah, so when... Oh, here's something I do. Before I draw anybody, on the flip side of all my boards, I write the studio, the place I'm drawing, the people who are going on, and the date and the year. And if I don't use that board again, I cross it out, and then I use it for another thing. So I have to relate back to who I saw, because I drew hundreds of people.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little about your roots, how you got into this. Okay. And in the time we have left, I also want to talk about, I like your McCoy Tyner piece.
Thank you.
So we'll talk about that. So don't go away on WGN.
Casey would waltz with the strawberry blonde and the band. Yeah, the band rocked on.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and we are with Chicago artist Sherry Smith, who's got 100 of her portraits going up October 7th at the Ken Hertie Gallery, 760 North Milwaukee. Is there a website or a way people can find out more about this?
Yeah, there is. I've got a dedicated page on my Facebook page, Sherry Smith, for this special event.
Is this like, I mean, you were at Main Stage a little bit, but is this like the biggest display of your work?
This absolutely is. And
is this like your coming out thing, maybe?
This is, yes. Yeah. I am marrying myself. Yeah. After teaching for 20 years and being a wife and being a mother and doing all those things, I sat with this great work. I said, this is it. This is it. And so what I made myself do is step up and say, what would a professional artist do at this moment? And I have done it all. This is a very inclusive thing. And 100 drawings. I mean, what can you say?
You taught fine art in the Chicago public school system for 20 years.
You mentioned
Cabrini-Green. What years were that and what was that like?
I retired 7 years ago. And the last 10 before that, I was in Cabrini. And it was wonderful. It was challenging. And I did everything I humanly could do with these kids, and short of letting them use paint and glue because they would get their hands all over them. But we had Michael Jackson weekends, and we did everything that would fit that student. We decorated our jean jackets with tagging, and I showed them things about tattoos, whatever they were into that I could show them.
What were they interested in?
Tats.
Yeah, they were.
Girls and boys were interested in girls and boys.
Yeah.
And they were interested in, I gave them a lot of comic books. Because when you're teaching in a classroom, you got kids who are going to take a long time. You got to get together with them. Kids who are just done before anything else. And kids you have to bring along. So I would leave materials on the table, particularly comic books. And then I would have all kinds of advertising cards for them to look at. And I'd pass out materials. And we did everything from like fake chocolates to sculptures to life-size pictures of each other.
You did that for 20 years.
I did it for 20 years.
What was there anything you learned through that experience, even with the kids, that you took away and you put that into your work after you left the school system?
Well, I learned that kids are kids.
Yeah.
You can't judge. They're all kids. And these kids were so particularly grateful to get anything, so I constantly gave them greeting cards or materials or yarn or candy or whatever I could give to them that would make them happy. I just thought the bottom line was let the kids be happy. I taught everything I could as stringently as I could, but bottom line is let the kid be happy and let the kid feel successful. I put everybody's work up. I think that's the most important thing, that let every kid feel like they're a success.
People today don't realize sometimes the power of art, especially in schools, you know.
No, because it's a way in.
Yeah, right.
It's a way in. And for a lot of kids who would fall between the cracks, you can see that some of them are real artists and some of them just want to express their emotions.
Right.
And it gives them vent to their emotions. Like we would create these quilts and Thanksgiving things, and I would say, draw your Thanksgiving table. Put anybody you want around it. You can put a deceased person or somebody you love so that they could have a sense of cohesion. They could create a work of art. And they could take something away.
And boy.
It was a long haul.
Yeah, that's really something. Well, how'd you get into art?
My mother was an artist.
Yeah.
My great-great-aunt was an artist. She taught sculpture at the Art Institute. And my mother was a great artist. She would go to the beach and draw my brother, who was a lifeguard, or she would take a class. And I didn't even know what great an artist she was until I started getting involved in art myself. So she went to the Art Institute in World War II and had to cut it short. But I have all her work. I wouldn't let it go. And then I studied. Oh, when I went to the Art Institute, I said, you're not taking away any job that you can have that'll make you any money unless you get an art teaching degree. So the Art Institute and Chicago Academy of Art turned me on to all different types of art, and particularly art history, because I love history.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Chicago in Rogers Park.
Rogers Park?
I bought in Rogers Park. I still live in Rogers Park. But this show is for the South Side and the North Side, maybe some Westies I don't know about. But I got a blending of everybody because I draw them as I see them.
In the couple minutes we have left, and I want to swing around and give all the information one last time, but 100, give me like 10. I'm looking at the list here. I'm just picking out names. Will Patricia Barber's image be there? Johnny Frigo.
Johnny,
I knew Johnny.
Yeah.
Johnny was great.
Patricia Barber, Johnny Frigo, D. Alexander and her posse. I've got seven.
You've got pictures of them. Yeah.
Robert Irving III, who lives down by the lake by me. I mean, I'm in.
What about Von Freeman? Will you have him?
Von Freeman is going to be in the window. I blew him. I'm blowing him up 6 feet big. I got Von Freeman going, blowing on the horn in just yellow and black, real stark. And so when people walk into that gallery, they're going to know where they are as soon as they see that Von Freeman.
Ramsey Lewis is on here.
Ramsey is great. Now, Ramsey's amazing, and I've done Ramsey a number of times, but since he's about to retire, I'm going to gift him the drawing that I'm doing.
And what sizes are these again, just to reiterate?
Well, they go from 4 feet big to a small original, which might be 11 by 17, which is the size of the board that I've drawn.
Does Jamello, do they have any of your stuff hanging at the Greenville?
Every Christmas, I give Dave something, yeah. And then I used to give every all of his people, I would give them a small piece going around. But Dave has about 10 of my pieces.
Good for you. All right, let's wrap it up here. Thanks for hanging out with us late.
Thank you.
So October 7th.
October 7th at the Ken Hurdy Gallery from 1 to 6, 760 North Milwaukee. Come, have a drink on me, and see some amazing jazz musicians showing up to see their portraits.
You'll have to come back.
I shall.
You'll have to start a series on radio people.
Well, I want to come in and draw you while you're working.
And then we'll talk about your radio career. Wanda Wells at
Wanda
WCFL.
Wells. Oh,
holy
yeah. Wanda Wells, Lifestyle Radio.
Okay. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us on Nocturnal Journal. Thanks, Dan Long. And be sure to listen this week on WGNRadio.com for our next segment on Reeling, the 36th edition, the second oldest LGBTQ film festival in the world. That'll be this week on WGNRadio.com with Richard Knight. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you next week.
And coming up, the stories that matter with David Jennings from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.